From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast on the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail, into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tax. The Ortiz brothers, Tax on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tax and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. Happy to have you with me for the next couple of hours as the premier summer racing meets are officially in the rearview mirror, meaning that the prestigious fall meets at Keeneland and Santa Anita are fast approaching. The Churchill Downs September meet is right around the corner. And the Belmont Park fall meet is already in full stride with another huge day of racing this afternoon. Off in the distance, just 55 days, 3 hours, and 35 minutes away, you have 14 Breeders' Cup Championship races awaiting on November 1st and 2nd at the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California. And if that's not enough to get you excited about the sport of thoroughbred racing, just take a look at what's happening right here in the Bluegrass State this weekend and over the next couple of weeks. This afternoon, Kentucky Downs is going to host 5 stakes races. 4 of those are graded stakes, including the Win and You're In Turf Sprint, which is highlighted, by the way, by 2-time Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint champion, Stormy Liberal. And how about this? He isn't even the favorite in the 10-horse field today in that turf sprint at Kentucky Downs. Not even the favorite, and he's won the Breeders' Cup turf sprint twice. He's third choice on the morning line at odds of 9-2. I'm going to visit with trainer Pete Miller, who trains Stormy Liberal, later in the program. Also going to visit with Michael Rona, the voice of Kentucky Downs, toward the end of the show, and he'll talk to you about all of those graded stakes. But I'm going to ask Pete Miller if maybe there's an element of disrespect here in some way. You've got a horse in Stormy Liberal that's won the Breeders' Cup turf sprint twice. One of only 2 horses to do that since the race's inception, Misdirection being the other one. And he's third choice on the morning line at odds of 9-2. Maybe it's a bad morning line. I don't know. But 9-2 seems pretty juicy on Stormy Liberal in that race later today. On Monday, we're going to get our first glimpse of some of the future stars of our sport as the Keeneland, they're going to begin their 76th September yearling sale at noon Eastern. 13 sessions running through Sunday, September 22nd. 4,644 yearlings have been cataloged. The first 3 sessions are known as Book 1. And if you're not familiar with how the yearling sales work, in particular this one here at Keeneland, Book 1 offers the cream of the crop, the best of the best, if you will, hand-picked. These yearlings have been impeccably bred. The confirmation is where it needs to be. And because of that, they are considered to be the cream of the crop. Those horses going to go through the ring for the first 3 days, the first 3 sessions of that September yearling sale. And as I mentioned, you have plenty of time to get out there. And if you've never been to a yearling sale, highly recommend attending one. It is a different look at the sport of thoroughbred racing. You get a chance to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and see how things work early on in a horse's career. And I'm going to get a chance later in the show to visit with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, one of the top consigners at every major yearling sale, year in and year out. Michael will be here to preview not only their consignment, but preview the yearling market and this upcoming sale. Where are we with the yearling sales scene? A strong yearling sale and a strong yearling sales market lifts everybody up across the board. It's good for breeders. It's good for owners. Great for trainers. We're going to talk to Michael about that coming up in just a little bit. Joe Brown Nicholson is also going to be with me on the program today. Joe, the man behind Nicholson Insurance. You've heard me talk about him on this program for many, many years. You got to know Joe if you're going to insure your horses. He's going to talk about the importance of insuring your yearlings and how to go about doing it. Why do you do it? How much coverage do you need? What's the best way to approach insuring your new yearling purchase? So Joe will be here to tell you all about that too. Some great information coming up later in the show. My question of the day. I was thinking back on, as I mentioned, the summer racing seasons, if you will, coming to a close with Saratoga, Del Mar, Arlington, all of those tracks wrapping things up. Ellis Park, they're all wrapping things up or have wrapped things up. So when you think back on this summer of racing, what was your favorite race or top performance of the summer? And I'm not going to give you choices, as we often do with poll questions. I want this to be an open-ended question, because the favorite race or your personal top performance is going to be different for everybody. I know we're going to have a lot of the same answers. For me, I think you'd be hard-pressed to top Midnight Bisou running down an ultra game Elate in the Grade 1 Personal Ensign at Saratoga. That is one of, if not the, race of the year so far, in my opinion. Forget about the summer racing season. Race of the year. Midnight Bisou racing on a track that she probably doesn't really care for at Saratoga. And finds a way, and this may be blasphemy when I say it, somewhat Personal Ensign-esque, to get up and run down Elate, who is on her day as classy as they come. And she gets up and she wins that race in the final jump by a flared nostril. For me, that's probably the one I go to there to answer this question of the day. What was your favorite race or top performance this summer? And it can be any race, any track, whatever one resonated with you for whatever reason. That's what I want to know. You can weigh in and answer that question on our Twitter feed, at HRRN. You can do it, Horse Racing Radio Network, on Facebook as well. What was your favorite race or top performance this summer? Let me know. All right, here's what's coming up in order. Kieran McLaughlin's going to join me coming up in just about 5 minutes from right now after our first commercial break. Kieran is going to be a major player in the two races at Belmont today, and I mean the Jockey Club Oaks and the Jockey Club Derby. You have one other stakes race on the program there this afternoon, but the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational, he'll send out Romantic Pursuit, and the Jockey Club Derby Invitational, A Thread of Blue. Both of those horses going to be ridden by jockey Luis Saez. So we'll get a chance to talk to Kieran coming up in just a few minutes. Michael Herner from Gainesway at 8:33 Eastern. Joe Brown Nicholson, 9 o'clock Eastern, Pete Miller at 9:20, and Michael Rona coming up right around 9:40 Eastern time. And in between all of that, I'm going to tell you about the restaurant that you won't want to miss when you come to Lexington for the Keeneland sales or for the upcoming Keeneland October race meet. That's Tony's of Lexington. I'll visit with owner Tony Ricci right about 8:50 Eastern time this morning. Very busy program. We'll kick it all off next with Kieran McLaughlin. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Picari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. In addition to selling a million-dollar-plus yearling, Picari's standouts on the racetrack include Reynaldo the Wizard.
Coming after Reynaldo the Wizard, he's still in front, the Wizard, and he's won! Reynaldo the Wizard has beaten Belmont Mask.
And recent Grade 1 winner, Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it!
Visit the Picari Bloodstock consignment at major sales to find your next superstar.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Curbon is going to ride the hedge to the top of the stretch. Emirati is next. March to the Arch in Olympico. They're into the stretch, and Curbon got through on the inside and tips over the lead with a furlong to run. And then it's Sacred Life on the outside, second. Dream Friend is third, as Joel Rosario and Curbon run away in the Bernard Baruch. They won it by three over Sacred Life, then Dream Friend and Emirati.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch handicap at Saratoga. That was last weekend, September 2nd. And Curbon coming back to defend his title in that race, winning it for the second consecutive year for trainer Kieran McLaughlin under jockey Joel Rosario. And Kieran is with us now here on HRRN, the native of Lexington, Kentucky, coming back home over the airwaves, so to speak. Kieran, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, that effort by Curbon, he had struggled a little bit to get back to the winner's circle since winning the race last year, and then he returns to Saratoga and gets it done for you last weekend. Tell me about that race.
Yeah, I mean, last year when he won it, we were so thrilled with his win off a layoff and first time in America, and we were looking for big things in between the two Bernard Baruchs, so we didn't win another race until the Bernard Baruch this year. But he ran very well several times, being a little unlucky second and third, but really nice horse, and it was a great win, and Joel rode him brilliantly.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, that he was a little bit unlucky. When I say that he has struggled to win, and he hadn't won since that race, it wasn't like he was getting, you know, blown out every race. He was right there. He was second in the Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale. He was second in the Grade 1 Turf Classic at Churchill Downs. And a couple of thirds with some Grade 1 company, too. He had been knocking on the door. Did you kind of feel like maybe it was just a matter of time?
Yes, we didn't know about the ground. I mean, it was quite soft on Monday when he won. So obviously he liked the ground that day. And he just finally got his nose in front because he deserved it.
Kieran, you continue to just keep clicking along and winning greatest stakes races. Your win total now, I don't even know if you're aware of this, but when you go to Equibase and look up your statistics, 1,555 career winners, $118 million in purse money is what your horses have earned. What's the secret? How does Kieran McLaughlin just keep doing this year in and year out?
That's a great question, but you have to have support from the owners. And I've been lucky. I've been with the Mocktum family for 25 years, and they supply us, and I say us because my brother Neil is an assistant, and I have Joe Lee here in New York, and I have a great team of people, but we need the horses. So we're very fortunate to have great owners and great help. We've had, luckily, a lot of people work for me for a dozen or so years. So that always helps. It's a team effort.
So many people are used to seeing you now bringing over the Mocktum horses. As you mentioned, the relationship goes back 25 years. Where did that relationship begin, Kieran? How did it start?
Actually, Helen Alexander helped me at Ciro's in 1992 when I had Chris Antley's book. We had dinner, and I asked her if she still had anything to do with the Mocktum family. She said yes, and that my name had come. And I said I would go anywhere to the family work. So Google it. I had to go to the library and look it up.
Kieran, let me
1993.
Kieran McLaughlin with us here on HRN. Kieran, let me stop you right there for a minute. You were kind of breaking up during that answer. If you're okay with this, let us reconnect with you. I'll have my producer Lee call you back, and we'll get you right back on the show.
Okay.
All right. A little bit of a bad connection there with Kieran. We'll try to rectify that here in just a moment. But I really am anxious to hear that answer. You couldn't hear it because the connection was breaking up, but I want to hear how it started after his meeting with Helen Alexander. That's such a cool story. People become so used to seeing Kieran in the winner's circle with those Godolphin colors, the royal blue and white colors of Godolphin. And the story has a very interesting beginning, and I'm anxious to hear exactly how that came together. Kieran is back with us now. Kieran, and by the way, we'll apologize to everybody for the connection issues, but you were telling the story about sitting down with Helen Alexander. Take us from there.
All right. In 1992, we had dinner at Ciro's at Saratoga, and I asked her if she still had anything to do with the Mocktum family. And she said, yes, your name's come up to go to Dubai to trade, and would you be interested? And I said, I would go anywhere for the Mocktum family. Where the hell is Dubai? So I had to go to the Garden City Library and look it up because it was before Google. And I got lucky to go to work there in November 1990.
Yeah, it has been a great relationship ever since. And as Kieran said, 2.5 decades later, they're still doing it. They'll try to do it again later this afternoon with Romantic Pursuit, who goes in the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational. And Kieran, we're going to start there with Romantic Pursuit because we'll go ladies first. Talk to me about her. She comes out of that big win in allowance race, stepping up a bit.
Yeah, it's a big step up, but the key is that she's three, and she beat three and up last time, and it was a mile and 3/8. So the mile and 3/8 is important that she liked it. She obviously liked the turf when she went to the turf, and she's won her last two, and she's in real good form right now. We look forward to running it.
What do you have to do to, when you have a horse like this, that's talented, that is stepping up in class, trying Great Estakes Company, well, it's not Great Estakes, but trying a big stakes like this for the very first time, what do you have to do to get her ready?
Well, she's continued to do real well at Saratoga. She's at Greentree, and she's continued to blossom up there. So she's doing great, and we're happy about the distance and straight three-year-old fillies. So that's the key.
When did you first get the idea that she could be a special filly?
She's always trained well, but she's just improved a lot this year and on turf, even though she was second before breaking her maiden a time or two. Once she broke her maiden, she came right back to win. So she, Questing, was a star on the dirt. She won the Alabama, her mother. But she also started her career in England with John Gosden on the turf. So we always felt like turf was going to be what she wanted.
We have another horse entered that's been pretty good on the turf, too. We'll turn our attention to the Jockey Club Derby, and that's A Thread of Blue, who is going to break from the inside post position in that mile-and-a-half test, which is going to be on the Widener turf course here Saturday afternoon. Talk to us about Thread of Blue.
Thread of Blue has always been a nice horse. This year he's gotten good. He won three in Florida and won the grade three down there before finishing second at Churchill in the $1 million race. And then he went to Penn Mile, and it was a little soft yielding over there. He prefers it firm, and right now sitting at Belmont Park, it's firm, but we do have some rain coming today, so we hope not too much rain to keep it firm. But he just has really a nice horse and loves the turf, obviously, and just won the Saratoga Derby. So we're looking forward to tomorrow, although a mile and a half is new for us. We don't know how well he'll get the mile and a half, but we'll find out.
Yeah, and by the way, recording this interview with Kieran here on Friday, you're listening to it Saturday morning. So when he talks about a threat of rain coming in, that would be on Friday evening into Saturday. So keep an eye on the conditions there on Saturday as we get ready for the big program coming up at Belmont Park. A Thread of Blue, Kieran, not going to be racing in the Godolphin colors, maroon and white colors of owner Leonard Green. Talk to me about that relationship.
Yeah, he's my accountant for quite a few years. He owns quite a few horses, but this is the first group of two-year-olds we received from him, purchased by Mike Ryan, and this horse is obviously a top horse and the star of the stable, and I'm very thrilled to keep my accountant happy, and hopefully we can keep going in the right direction. But he's a really neat horse, and we're happy to draw the one hole because it's the shortest way around, and we'll find out if he can get the 12 furlong.
Yeah, especially with $118 million in earnings by your runners. You want to keep that guy happy.
Yes, exactly.
Kieran McLaughlin with me here on HRRN. A busy weekend for him, as you're hearing. He will be prominent in the Jockey Club Oaks and the Jockey Club Derby Invitational, races 9 and 10 at Belmont Park on this Saturday afternoon. Kieran, you mentioned earlier, you told me the story about the Godolphin relationship 25 years and still going strong. Did you ever think when you made that first trip to Dubai that we'd be sitting here 2.5 decades later still talking about this?
I didn't, but I said, my brother-in-law, Mark Hennick, said, if you want to train horses, you could just put up a plaque, and I'm sure you would get plenty of horses. Why are you going to Dubai? And I said, well, hopefully it's a career move, and I'm with them for a long time, and it has worked out that way.
Not bad for a kid from Lafayette High School.
What's that?
I said, not bad for a kid from Lafayette High School.
Yes, correct. Yes, we've done very well.
Will you be here at Keeneland this fall?
Yes, at some point. I'm actually coming in Sunday for the sale for 5 or 6 days, and then we hope to be at Keeneland with some this fall, yes.
All right, he's trainer Kieran McLaughlin. Again, a very busy weekend. We'll let him go. Kieran, like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and we'll encourage people to go to the website, embracetherace.com, and wear what you love at Embrace the Race. Kieran, appreciate the visit, my friend, and all the best coming up here this afternoon and go get it done in the Jockey Club Oaks and Jockey Club Derby.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for your support of our industry. You all do a great job.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Kieran McLaughlin here on HRRN. Yeah, and again, if you missed part of that interview, Kieran mentioned tomorrow and the rain coming in later today. We are recording this interview and this show on Friday. You're listening to it on Saturday, so that's don't want anybody to get confused out there. But keep an eye on that. He said a thread of blue likes it firm, and he's hoping that that rain that comes in won't be enough. It didn't sound like, in listening to Kieran talk, that it was going to be a deluge that was going to soak Belmont Park and make that a soft turf course. Didn't sound like it. I haven't looked at the forecast for Saturday, but keep that in mind as you're listening to that interview and looking ahead to tomorrow's program. But the Jockey Club Oaks and the Jockey Club Derby, both Saturday afternoon, Belmont Park, races 9 and 10, respectively. It's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you, I've been telling you for about 15 years now that if you are in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, go see the folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. He's going to take great care of you. He is a horseman, first and foremost. He's been in the horse business. He's owned horses. He's bred horses. He loves the game. You go see the Godfather. You talk about horses. And then you test drive one of the new Lexus. And that will sell itself. Trust me. It's the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. They want to be and have become the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. We're back to visit with Michael Hernan from Gainesway to talk about the Keeneland September sale next after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
When the subject of thoroughbred of this dissertation died September 26, 1945, he left a legacy that stirred more genuine affection in the hearts of sports fans than any other the American turf had ever known. Old Bones, as he later came to be nicknamed, was a lanky foal bred by F.D. Knight and earned universal acclaim on the racetrack in the colors of Willis Sharp Kilmer. As a thoroughbred, he came from nowhere, as the saying goes. His pedigree, My McGee, Out of Fair Empress by Jim Gore, screamed aloud that he was strictly from the wrong side of thoroughbred racing's breeding track, so to speak. Somebody early on in his life had the presence and foresight to give him a name that fit him like a rubber glove and said it all about his talent on the racetrack as well, Exterminator. He started 100 times in his illustrious career, 150 being out of the money only 15 times. He had an interesting propensity to return to the winner's circle standing in a rather homely, ho-hum, nonchalant way. He carried the highest weight handicappers could dream up and did so with pride and with distinction. His composite earnings were astounding for the times, over $250,000. The most he ever earned for a win was $14,700 for his 1918 score in the Kentucky Derby. At that, he got to the Derby accidentally, and that story is well worth retelling. Racing for Carl Milam as a two-year-old after being purchased from his breeder for $1,500 as a yearling, he won four times, but showed little, if anything, by way of class. The next spring, Willis Sharp Kilmer had the sensational colt Sunbriar eligible for the classic run for the Roses, but Sunbriar did not train properly coming up to the race. Shortly before the Derby, Kilmer bought Exterminator from Milam for $9,000 just for the sake of having the silks appear among the starters in the Derby, and the rest is historically chronicled. On a sloppy racetrack, the 30-1 game-gelding nickname Old Bones, Exterminator, splashed his way to a victory in his very first important stakes event. After that, he won every kind of race that racing secretaries could conceive. Oh, yes, he was beaten often, but not one time for lack of effort. They piled weight on him that would make a mule driver apologize to a mountain burro and send them on out to take their best at their favorite distance. Exterminator never gave a poor effort. He was the unequivocal thoroughbred idol of racing patrons everywhere, his name a household word. He ran under the tutelage of seven different trainers and made everybody famous that was ever connected with him. As gutsy and courageous a performer as ever set foot on the American racetrack, he was game to the core. even to his last race when he broke down and yet hung on determinedly to finish third. In the early morning hours of September 26, 1945, he met the Grim Reaper in a stall at Sunbriar Court in Binghamton, New York, at the age of 30. An inconspicuous stone marker stands there today above his head on a simple grave overlooking the Susquehanna River alongside his one-time stablemate, Sunbriar. Inconspicuous as it may be, that stone does reflect in its very pristinity that the American turf is a far, far greater and far, far richer institution for old bones having passed by. Exterminator.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, eight stakes races worth over $700,000, and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And now Mind Out is starting to come with a nice run. Mind Out has the gold cap, white face, extreme outside, coming smartly. At the top of the lane, New Pie Lambers hanging on to it. Mind Out closes steadily. Scoot the Moon, Secret Squares down at the rail. They come for home. New Pie Lumber tries to hold on. Mind Out on the outside. Here's the wire. Mind Out. Mind Out perfectly timed by Flavian Pratt. New Pie Lumber was right there, and Scoot the Moon finished third.
Back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Mike Pena in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Happy to have you back with us. That was Trevor Denman with the call of Mind Out, winning a maiden race at Del Mar on August 21st. It was the third race of the afternoon. And Mind Out, one of several two-year-olds by Tappet,
who have burst onto the scene in recent weeks. Mind Out immediately named a TDN Rising Star after that performance, and Super Sire Tappet continues to show up with big horses in big spots each and every year. Tappet standing at Gainesway, and I have the pleasure now of being joined by our good friend Michael Hernan from Gainesway, who will talk to us not only about Super Sire Tappet and the Stallions, but look ahead to what's happening next week at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Michael, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a beautiful morning out here at Keeneland, and we started showing here this morning. It's going quite well. Plenty of major buyers here, and international spring thing as well. So I think the front end of the sale is going to go very well, as it should, because these are the arguably the top horses based on physicals and pedigree. And Keeneland selectors come around, and then we have a little negotiation back and forth as to placement, which is critical to a successful sale. And we're fortunate, of course, to have the great Stallion Tappet, who, you know, keeps rewriting his own legacy. And he's both a tremendous productive stallion on the racetrack, and he gets a great-looking horse, and consequently they're very commercial. And I want to make note with you, we kick off the sale this year with Hip Number One, and that's a special filly by Tappet out of Oda Liz. It's a very strong page. She's a super filly. It reminds me a lot of Zazu, who was a dual Grade One winner, who we sold here at Keeneland previously. So we hope to get off to a bang with Hip One, Tappet filly, Oda Liz.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that filly up, Michael, because if you didn't, I was going to. I had her page pulled up right in front of me here on my computer. And, you know, much like you would see with a lot of the Tappets, the bottom side, the dam side, is typically extremely strong because he's attracting the cream of the crop when it comes to the mares that you're breeding to him year in and year out. This is a horse that just continues at the top of the sires list. You have to be thrilled.
Yeah, well, we're thrilled with him. You know, he made an immediate impact. He was the leading freshman and juvenile sire in his first year at stud when his fee was 15,000, and it moved up incrementally through the years. Of course, he was the leading sire in 2014, 15, and 16. And he's now emerging, as you would expect, as a very good broodmare sire from his daughters, who are now in production. And I think he's going to come forth there as well. Of course, those fillies would all have a lot of pedigree and had a solid family. So he's really quite exceptional. And every year he comes up with top horses. And, you know, he's a great horse for Gainesway. And we anticipate very strong reception for his progeny at this sale.
Michael, let me ask you this question. You've been doing this, and the Gainesway team have been doing this at a very high level for a very, very long time. A lot of consigners will tell me that being the first horse in the ring is somewhat of a disadvantage. But I'm going to ask it to you this way. Is it different when you're talking about, as you just laid out, a book one type of catalog where these are hand-picked and the cream of the crop? Is it a little bit different in this scenario?
Yeah, you know, traditionally you would have a little bit of concern about being Hip One, but when you've got a filly like we have in this filly, I've really no doubt about her. I've watched her grow up through the spring and being involved with her preparation over at Man O' War Farm, owned by Michael Baum and his wife. And so, you know, I think you might recall that Unique Bella was sold very early in the September sale. She became a champion and a dual Grade One winner. So it's my job to make sure this filly gets the right exposure. And she's making lists already. And we'll put a photo of her out there on the website and on social media and in the TDN, most likely. But people won't miss her. So I think it will kick the sale off with a good start and our own sale with the Gainsway horses to start strong with Hip One. And those sessions start at noon, so there's plenty of time between now and then and on the morning of the sale. You know, they're going to, there's going to be people there looking for this filly, I've no doubt.
Talking with Michael Hernan of Gainsway Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, when you look through your offerings at this year's Keeneland September sale, especially early on in this book one, you see several horses who are by Tappet, but you see another name on there too. You have some horses who are by Empire Maker, who also stands at Gainsway. Talk to me a little bit about the what we're going to see from the Empire Makers here at Keeneland September.
Sure. Well, Empire Maker is a wonderful horse in his own right. He's the sire of 12 Grade 1 winners. His first now U.S. cropper two-year-olds since he came back from Japan and came to Gainsway are now running. Eight Rings was a very impressive two-year-old who unfortunately had a little faux pas in the Del Mar Futurity when he lost the rider. He was a heavy favorite. He's very highly regarded. He ran a 94 buyer in his first start. And we expect him back in a grade one. Last year, the Empire Makers averaged 357,000 and there were 49 of them sold. So it tells you how quality they are and how uniform they are. And they gave a good return to breeders. And again, he's bred very well again this year. He's highly fertile. And we think a whole lot of him. He's proven. And he's got very good stock here. We've got a number of them ourselves. And, you know, he is himself. He is who he is. And, you know, I expect some good numbers from him on his stock here at Keeneland. And that lands me back into one of the points of the Gainsway consignment is the very high level and how many graded stakes winners we sell here at Keeneland. And I'll give you a few names. Monomoy Girl, of course, comes to mind immediately. She was sold here at Keeneland, bred by Brendan Gallagher and myself, and very well bought by Liz Crow for $100,000. She's back training very well at Churchill, and they're optimistic that she's over the early spring illness she had, and she'll have a run and might well take her shot in the Breeders' Cup. Hawkbill, Son of Kitten's Joy, top horse in Europe, Group 1 winner. We sold him here at Keeneland. And just last Saturday, you saw Preservationist win the Woodward Stakes for Centennial and Jimmy Jerkins.
Yep.
And he was found here for Centennial by Dr. Steve Carr and Paula Parsons. And then the next poster I'm looking at is for Klimt, grade 1 stakes winning two-year-old now standing at Derby Dan. And then Greg Goodman bred the Tappet son, namely Creator, who raced for Windstar, and he put his head down on the line at the right time in the Belmont Stakes. And, you know, the list goes on. So these horses, they do run, and consequently we have a very strong customer base, and they know they're going to get a great show here in the consignments through the sale. And, you know, it's success is not an accident. There's a lot of good people here, and it's a good team, and everyone gets along. And, you know, I think we're going to have a very strong sale here with the horses we have in this consignment. And we do go right to the end. So this is the supermarket for yearlings, and I think Gainsway is a barn where you can do one-stop shopping, and you get top horses for sure and horses within all budgets through the sale.
Now, that's a great point, Michael, and that's one thing that people need to keep in mind, and I preach this quite often on this program, that just because you're out there shopping and book one isn't for you, you don't have that type of budget, you're not playing at that level, it doesn't mean you can't get a really good stakes horse, maybe even a graded stakes horse or a classic winner in those later books. They're there throughout the entire sale, right?
Well, of course. And, of course, I bring back Monomoy Girl as an example. She was very well bought for $100,000. She became a champion, a Kentucky Oaks winner, an Ashland winner, a Breeders' Cup Distaff winner. And she was well bought, as was Careless Jewel, who won the Alabama. We sold her affordably, and she was a top filly as well. So, you know, horses don't read, Mike. They don't know what they cost, and they're never inhibited by the sales price because they don't understand that. But they're bred to run. They're well prepped. They're well positioned in the sale, I believe. And consequently, we have had tremendous success in selling top horses, and I think Gainsway has really developed into a brand name that people can rely on. And Kofefi is another one that comes to mind. She just won the test for Ellen J. Foxwoods, trained by Brad Cox, as is Monomoy Girl. So she's probably the most recent Grade 1 winner of note. And, of course, she was bred over at Middlebrook Farm, Helen Alexander and her family. So I think we're loaded here for this sale. I think we're going to be met with a good market. And I'm very optimistic.
Michael, what barn are you in right now? Barn 2?
Right now we're in barn 2.
Okay.
We've got 20 colts and fillies to start us off. And they're spread through book 1, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That was tightened up by Keeneland this year. The format was changed from being 4 days. I think it's a very good decision. And Thursday will be a dark day, meaning there won't be a sale that day. And there'll be droves of people here looking at yearlings, and the sale will recommence on Friday.
He's nobody. He's Michael Hernan, nobody better than Michael and the folks at Gainsway. Stop by Barn 2. Tell them you heard him here on the Equine Forum on HRN this morning. And take a look at those yearlings. They do a phenomenal job year in and year out. Michael, appreciate the visit, my friend, and good luck at the sale.
Thank you very much, and always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Hernan, Gainsway Farm here on HRRN. Tying into the sales discussion here as well, if you are a consigner or you're going to be attending the sale, but mainly if you're a consigner, the folks at Jimmy John's in the Palomar location here in Lexington, the Palomar location, will be delivering out to the barns. So if you want to order lunch for the entire barn, for everybody that's working for you, Jimmy John's is the place to go. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Jimmy John's in Palomar. Call that store. They will deliver out to your barn. You don't have to leave. They'll deliver. They'll bring you the sandwiches. They'll bring you the cookies, the chips, whatever it is, all the drinks. Jimmy John's in Palomar. Freaky fast, freaky good. And I've been talking about them on this show for a very long time as well. Make sure you give them a call and tell them that you heard about it right here on HRRN, and they will they'll take care of you. Going to get to another break. When I come back, I will tell you another place that you should check out when you're in town for the Keeneland September sale or for the upcoming Keeneland October meet. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup. Woodbine is celebrating their fall turf season from September 6th to October 14th with 23 stakes races and more than $5.4 million in purses. September 14th and 15th is Rico Woodbine Mile weekend with 3 Breeders' Cup winning your in races, the $1 million Rico Woodbine Mile, the Grade 1 Natalma Stakes, and Grade 1 Summer Stakes. On October 12th, 2 more Grade 1 turf races highlight the program, the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International and Grade 1 E.P. Taylor Stakes. For more information, please visit woodbine.com.
Tappet, his impact on the breed will last for generations. With more graded stakes winners, more Grade 1 winners, and more million-dollar yearlings than any other active American stallion. For owners and breeders, his progeny have created memories that will last a lifetime. Find your Tappet at the upcoming yearling sales. America's most dominant sire, Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I
truly believe in, there's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Spun to run, Crane Magician, dramatic stretch run. Here's the wire, spun to run, foot on. It looked like spun to run will get the nod over Crane Magician in a dramatic finish in the Sparty Jones Stakes.
Spun to run, the three-year-old son of Darley Stallion Hardspun, earned a 97 buyer in winning the Grade 3 Smarty Jones Stakes at Parks this past Monday. And that victory makes Spun to Run your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hardspun is Dan Zieg's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion before him. Spun to Run became Hardspun's fourth graded stakes winning three-year-old in 2019. No stallion has more. To learn more about Hardspun and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, I love the bumper music coming back appropriate because we are joined now by my good friend Tony Ricci, who is the proprietor of Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Indianapolis, and Tony's of Cincinnati. In my opinion, the greatest steak you will find anywhere on the planet. And Tony with me now. Buongiorno, signore.
Hey, buongiorno, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be alive, to be honest with you. We're right in the middle of a renovation in Cincinnati, so if you're hearing some background noise, I'm walking out of the restaurant to my car so that I can hear you a little bit better. It's a lot of commotion here.
That's all right. Michelle and I were in to your restaurant here in Lexington, Tony's of Lexington, on Wednesday night. Had another amazing experience. The food, as always, was exceptional. And I can't thank you enough for what you've done for the community here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you, and say hello to your wife, Michelle, for me. But, we've been there for 4.5 years, since March of 2015, and I will tell you, from my point of view, the way that we were received by the people in Lexington, the way that they just welcomed us to the community, the way that they enjoyed our type of hospitality and the quality of food, was almost like a humbling experience for me. And, I'm glad that we were able to, provide that quality of service, that quality of food, and be consistent with it for these past 4.5 years. And hopefully we will be definitely consistent with it for many years to come.
You and I have talked on many occasions, Tony, that when people walk into the restaurant, whether it's here or in Indianapolis or in Cincinnati, the one thing that you want is for everybody to feel like they're walking in to have dinner in their own dining room. And when you sit down at one of your restaurants, that's exactly the feeling that you get.
Yeah, a lot of that, and I'm glad. I'm glad that people feel that way, because coming here from Italy when I was 10 years old and growing up in an Italian household, as far as my mother is concerned, there wasn't a person that she did not like. And the saying upstairs in my room, on one of my walls that says, there's always room for one more at our table, that's exactly what my mom's attitude was. And it seemed like every time we had guests over, it was nothing like one big party all the time. And so I wanted to, if I was fortunate enough growing up to have my own restaurant, that's the atmosphere that I wanted to develop. And all of my restaurants, they're open to the kitchen, not to the kitchen, but to the bar and the dining room, where people can see each other and mingle and say hello if they recognize each other.
Yeah, it's a very welcoming atmosphere. You're to be credited for creating that. And as you said, it goes back to your heritage and growing up as an Italian American, and that's first and foremost. And when you sit down, I'm Italian too, so when you sit down to have dinner with an Italian family, usually it's a very big dinner, right? You're not sitting down with just one or two people. It's typically a big dinner, and everybody's welcome.
Do you know how many wars were started at an Italian dining room table? It is, you know, the Italians spend most of their time around the dining room table. Okay, so when they sit down to eat, whether it's afternoon, in Italy they eat, you know, early afternoon, then they take a nap. But when they sit down again around 7, 8 o'clock, depending on where you're at in Italy and so on, you're sitting there for a long time. You talk about everything. You talk about the good, the bad, and it's truly, truly family time. You add guests in front of that, you add friends and so on, and it becomes a party.
Yeah, it does. Michelle and I were in Italy a couple of weeks ago. I think we were there right after you and your wife had the chance to get away and make a trip back home. And that's exactly the way it is. And you've brought that here to the United States as well through your three restaurants. So I mentioned the Lexington location, and we'll encourage all of our listeners who are coming to town for the Keeneland September sale and the October race meet to visit Tony's of Lexington. They're down across from Rupp Arena on Main Street. But Tony, you've opened the Indianapolis location, which is your newest location, and then you have the Cincinnati, which is the original location. When people walk into the restaurants and when they think about going to one of your restaurants, what's the one or two things you want them to know?
I want them to know that they first of all that they matter as they're not just guests of ours, but I want them to feel that they are going to become friends. So I want them to just sit back, relax, and just get away from life for just a couple of hours, because life tends to get into the way, in our way sometimes. And whether you are with your loved one, whether you're with a friend, whether you're with a business associate, okay, we got to remember that the most important thing that we can do to ourselves is refuel ourselves with good food. And if you add great hospitality and a welcoming environment to where you can just take a deep breath and say, okay, the next 2 hours are mine, then we've accomplished our goal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that is exactly how you will feel. I'm visiting with Tony Ricci, who is the owner of Tony's of Lexington, Tony's of Indianapolis, and Tony's of Cincinnati. And, again, so many people in the horse business will be making their way to Lexington, Kentucky over the next couple of months, Tony. And the support that you have received, I know this because I've had several horse people come up to me and tell me that they've heard us talk about Tony's on the show, but the support that you've received from the horse business has been a crucial part of the success of your store here in the Bluegrass.
Totally. And it's very, and I'm very humbled by it. You know, I 10 years ago, I was just a restaurant manager. Now I have three restaurants and I'm very blessed and grateful for it. And like I said before, the way that people have received us and the way that they have received the quality of food that we have and our type of hospitality, it's truly been a very, very humbling experience for us.
Tony, I have about a minute left. I'll put you on the spot here. Have you learned how to pick a winner at the racetrack yet?
I have not. I have not. Just to show you how bad of a gambler I am, I'm going out. I went to Keeneland one day, and a guy says all the long shots are coming in. So the next race, there's two long shots. Both are, one is at 30 and one is at 40-1. So rather than putting $5 down on each, I only choose one and put down $10 on that one. Guess what? The other one came in.
Yeah. Hey,
that's how bad I am.
You know what? Actually, that's about a normal story when you talk to a horse player. So you're probably right on par to where you should be.
Yeah, all right.
We'll get you out to the races in October, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you in the restaurant here soon. Again, we'll encourage people to make sure they stop by and experience a wonderful meal at Tony's of Lexington when they're in town. And, Tony, I appreciate the visit here this morning, my friend, as always.
Thank you, Mike. God bless you, man.
All right, you too. Tony Ricci here on HRRN. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, Tony is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. All right, that's the about going to do it for the first half of the program. Second half of the show kicks off with my good friend Joe Brown Nicholson, who has made his way into the studio to talk to you about insuring your yearling purchases. Pete Miller, the trainer of Stormy Liberal, will be with me, and Michael Rona, the voice of racing at Kentucky Downs, also going to be with me here in the second half of the show. So a lot still to come. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then Tats between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant, but Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a on to run. One bad boy never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now here's Mike Petta.
Welcome back. Second half of the program, the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence for the entire month of September. Mike Petta, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, covered a lot of ground in the first half of the program. If you're just joining us and you missed any of the first half, my interviews with Kieran McLaughlin, with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, or Tony Ricci of Tony's of Lexington, just head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows. You can do that at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. Threw out a poll question, or a question of the day, not really a poll question this morning, but I did throw out a question of the day at the top of the show. You can go to at HRRN on Twitter, cast your vote. You can do that, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook too. The question is, what was your favorite race or top performance this summer? Looking back on the summer meets of, say, Saratoga and Del Mar and Ellis Park and Arlington, those signature summer race meets. And it doesn't have to be a race that took place at one of those racetracks. It can be any race, but whatever one stood out to you. It could be a maiden winner. It could be a two-year-old stakes race. It could be, for me, I think Midnight Bisou running down Elate in the Shadow of the Wire and the Grade 1 Personal Ensign at Saratoga. That, to me, probably the top performance this year. At least this summer, anyway. There are others that have been very, very good, but Midnight Bisou running down Elate, for me, gets my vote. Didn't want to give you options. I want you to be free-flowing and for you to go ahead and weigh in with the moment that stands out to you. So the favorite race or your favorite top performance this summer. What is it? Go to at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let us know. Well, I had a chance to visit with Michael Hernan in the first half of the show. We talked about the Keeneland September sale, which begins on Monday, the first of 13 sessions running through September 22nd, 4,644 yearlings have been cataloged to the sale. Now, there will be some outs and scratches, but 4,644 youngsters were cataloged to go under the gavel. One of the things that is critical is knowing how to insure your yearling purchase. That's a lot of yearlings that are going to be sold over the next 13 to 15 days. And to help us out with that situation is our good friend Joe Brown Nicholson from Nicholson Insurance Agency. He's been kind enough to swing by the studio with me here this morning. Joe, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. It's good to be here and good to hear what a great job you do. I'm just admiring your abilities and appreciate everything you do for the racing world.
Yeah, you get to sit here next to me and see how much I talk with my hands, right? I'm Italian. I got hands going everywhere. They're all over the map. When we were in Italy a couple of weeks ago, Michelle and I realized that that does really happen. People in Italy, all the true Italians, so to speak, from Italy, speak with their hands. It's true. So I don't feel so bad now.
Well, if the people can't see you, but I can attest, you are using your hands. I think I'll use my hands too. It might be contagious.
It could be contagious. You and I have been visiting with each other for many, many years, going back to even before I started on radio. You were working with my mentor and the man who started the network with me, Pete Kulis,
yeah.
Who is no longer with us, unfortunately. This is a relationship that goes back, 20, 25 years, Joe?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah. But that means that you've been doing something right in this business too, on the insurance side of things. You've been doing it for a very long time.
Well, I'm happy and pleased and proud of what Nicholson Insurance Agency does on a daily basis to provide insurance services for our clientele. We are, as agents, right in the middle between the insured, the people who want the insurance, and the companies who provide the coverage. So we try to facilitate to the best of our ability that project.
What was your first year in business with Nicholson Insurance Agency?
The year?
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the Monday after the Derby.
Okay. Wow. Why that day? Just so happened? That
just
was the
so
day
happened.
That,
yeah. Easy to remember.
Yeah, it's very easy to remember. What led you to get into this business and to start this business?
Well, my father-in-law was John Bell, and he had Cromwell Bloodstock Agency, which in addition to providing bloodstock services, had an insurance capacity and component. And I cut my teeth in on that and stayed with him for, 14 years or so, and then branched out on my own in 1993.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk about insuring yearlings because with the Keeneland September sale beginning on Monday, I thought this was perfect timing. There are going to be people who are wondering how they should go about doing it. What are some of the things that are crucial to keep in mind when they start looking to insure their new yearling purchases? But before we get to that, I just want to touch on the fact that your insurance agency is not only about insuring horses. You have home insurance, auto insurance, what else? Mortality insurance, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Property and casualty, as well as farm owners and equine-related coverages. But we try to canvas the broad spectrum of insurance products.
I'll throw this out there personally. My wife, Michelle, and I, we have everything that we own is insured through you and Nicholson Insurance Agency in some capacity. And in terms of working with you and the team at Nicholson Insurance, couldn't be easier. So thank you.
Thank you. Most appreciated.
Yeah, really appreciate it. So in terms of yearlings, let's talk yearlings.
Okay.
What are some of the things people should keep in mind when they're attending the Keeneland sale and they're making these purchases?
Well, as you mentioned before, some 4,600 yearlings will go under the auction block on at Keeneland, and for significant prices, and they are significant investments that these buyers will be spending, and many or most would like to insure their investment for at least the first year, because the premium rates are low for yearlings, and the policy would be for a year. So if you carry that out, it would include breaking, training, and racing as a two-year-old for the full years at a reduced premium rate. So that is advantageous to not only protect the investment, but also it's a bona fide business expense for the racehorse operations.
Yeah.
So that's important. But, you know, no one wants catastrophe to happen, and no one expects it. And these horses coming out of these sales will be cared for and developed at the Kentucky farms and around the world, really, at other training centers. And they get the top quality care, but sometimes accidents happen, and this would at least provide some financial protection that would make the sting a little less severe.
Yeah, you mentioned insuring maybe at least for the first year. Does it change in when it comes to insuring a two-year-old once they get to the racetrack?
It does. The premium rate goes up because the exposure is so much greater.
Okay.
And you know, these athletes are out there on the racetrack and they're training in the morning and racing in the afternoons, and some things can go wrong. Fortunately, it's not very often, but when it does, we're there to help.
So when people come to you and they talk to you about insuring a yearling that they just purchased, what are some of the things you tell them to keep in mind?
Well, first of all, I would like to have them let us know, if they're not already an existing client, I would like them to let us know prior to the sale that they might be shopping,
mm-hmm.
because we can provide follow-the-hammer coverage that would essentially kick that insurance policy in the moment the hammer falls, because that's when the transfer of ownership occurs.
Okay.
So they are exposed to that purchase price right at that moment. And rather than trying to look around for me at the sale, or maybe they would forget to call. And if there's no request for insurance, there's no acceptance on behalf of the insurance company to provide that protection. So that's for new clients. We have a special plan for existing clients that would provide automatic coverage, and that at no additional cost. But that's an important addendum to the policy.
Yep. Talking with Joe Brown Nicholson, Nicholson Insurance Agency, here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What percentage, I don't even know if this is a fair question, Joe, and tell me if it's not, what percentage of horse owners will insure those purchases as yearlings?
That's a good question. I'd say in book one, there'll be, maybe three-fourths.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's just off the top of my head. I don't know that any specific study has been done, but some of the more international it depends on each case, and the financial risk that the owner is willing to incur.
Okay.
So, some owners who have many, many horses might opt not to insure, using the law of large numbers to their advantage. There are plans that we can provide for multiple horse owners that provide discounts and deductibles, and we can manage a policy to suit their individual needs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a judgment call. You know, one of the things about being horse owners are they are independent, and some want to do business the way they want to do business. And we respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I know we're not going to talk necessarily about insuring a horse that gets the races as a two-year-old. You said that the premiums go way up because the exposure is so much greater, but that is a whole different animal, isn't it?
Yeah. The premium goes up some, not an extraordinary increase, but policy that we write for a yearling would be based on the purchase price.
Okay.
And the value of that animal might increase or decrease throughout the year, depending upon what's going on with the individual and what's going on in the pedigree. A yearling filly whose sibling wins the Kentucky Derby the next spring would be more valuable, certainly, and an increase might be warranted, certainly, and desired by the owner. So we can adjust the value throughout the term of the policy, either up or down.
Yep.
And the reason why it's important to review the value of the horse at the end of the purchase price period is that to take all that into consideration.
Okay.
And let's review the value, and the company generally goes along with our recommendation, and I usually go along with the recommendation of the owner, because who else knows better what the value of that horse is than the owner?
Yeah, very much so. I notice you have several notes you brought in with you, too. You haven't even looked at them once yet. And by the way, you are talking with your hands a little bit, too, just so you know.
Gracias.
just so you know. When you look through like the notes that you brought with you, what are some of the things on there that you want to make sure you point out to some folks?
Well, one thing is that mortality insurance is not a maintenance insurance. It's just because you have training bills that would increase your expenses does not necessarily mean that the value of the horse goes up in direct proportion. So we want to ensure the fair market value of the horse, and we provide an agreed value amendment to the policy that guarantees that the insured value would be paid in the event of a loss. However, we want to review that every year just to be certain that the horse is not overinsured. We don't want the horse worth more dead than alive.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. And I'm assuming that if people want to learn more about insuring a yearling or a horse that does get to the races, they can just call you and your team and almost as a consultation type thing and ask you any questions that they need to?
Absolutely. We're available throughout business hours, or my cell phone is open 24/7, evidently.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah, and I welcome the calls, really, I do, because I want to be available to our clients. So, they can call, and we can structure whatever makes sense for them, whether it's the mortality for the yearlings, whether it's liability exposure for being a horse owner that is not protected by one's homeowner policy.
Okay.
That's another exposure that a horse owner incurs, whether they know it or not, that should the yearling be or the racehorse cause bodily injury or property damage to others, then the owner would be responsible quite likely.
Okay.
Especially when
that's interesting.
Yeah, they have to be legally liable to pay, but that means that some legal complaint has been filed.
Right.
So that's the liability is a good policy. It's relatively cheap, and it provides defense cost coverage as well as indemnity. So I would recommend that horse owners be aware of that exposure as well.
Well, as I told you at the beginning of the interview, you won't find better people to work with than Joe Brown Nicholson and his team at Nicholson Insurance Agency. So if you do have more insurance questions and you're thinking about, well, should I do this or what's the right way to go about doing this after you purchase those yearlings, make sure you get in touch with Joe and the team over at Nicholson Insurance Agency. And Joe, I really appreciate you coming in here doing a little radio today now that you're a big TV star.
Oh, yeah.
I saw your TV commercial for Nicholson Insurance. I loved it, by the way. I thought it was great.
Well, thanks so much. I don't know how people talk me into doing these things, but I guess it's okay.
I talked you into coming in here, so somehow we got that done too, Pat.
Yeah, I didn't have to get as dressed up on the radio as I do on TV.
No, yeah, that's true. Joe, appreciate the visit, and like all of our guests, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We will do that. They'll send you an email with a gift card, and really appreciate you stopping by today. And thanks for the information, too.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure, always.
All right, Joe Brown Nicholson, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Definitely give them a call, and as I always say, you got to know Joe. Going to get to another break. When I come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week segment, presented by Stuart Morris, and I'll let the cat out of the bag. It's trainer Peter Miller. He's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, 8 stakes races worth over $700,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. This year, he's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avi's Flatter. In the auction ring, his yearlings have topped the Phasing Tipton July sale 2 years in a row. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Cleveland Farm.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Pure Sensation kicks on for home, now leads it a length. In the second spot, Richard's Boy. Richard's Boy, the two greys pass the eight ball together. Now here comes Stormy Liberal with a late run. Marsha is flying on the outside as well, suddenly wide open. Richard's Boy holding on. Richard's Boy, Stormy Liberal. Stormy Liberal. Stormy Liberal beat Richard's Boy to make it a 1-2 for trainer Peter Miller.
Stormy Liberal trying to win it again on the outside as they arrive at the final furlong. They've left the others behind. Stormy Liberal in World of Trouble digs in. These two well clear their competition. Then it's Disco Parker, Will Cullen, Chantaline coming to the final 16th. World of Trouble on the outside. Stormy Liberal heads coming up and down to the wire. Stormy Liberal back to back in the turf sprint.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. You heard Trevor Denman, you heard Larry Colmus with the calls of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, those coming in 2017 and 2018, respectively. The one common denominator was Stormy Liberal getting to the wire first in both of those races, and we'll see Stormy Liberal in action later today at Kentucky Downs in Southern Kentucky, and looking forward to seeing him do his thing in the Win in Your Inn Turf Sprint. And joining us now is his trainer, Peter Miller, who is going to be honored this week as our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. I'll tell you more about Stuart after this interview, but Peter with us now here on HRN. Peter, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the time. And I figured I'd take you on a little trip down memory lane with those two race calls there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Brings back great memories, and hopefully Stormy can do it again today.
Yeah, he's a special horse. What makes him so good?
Heart. You know, he loves his job and he wants to win. So I think that's his main, talent and ability.
Yeah, he has it all. And you pick this spot for his next race, this run-happy turf sprint to Kentucky Downs, 6 furlongs on that somewhat undulating turf course. Why was this the right spot for him, Peter?
Well, there were a few reasons. The timing was good, and the purse was big. So, you know, I think this is, besides the Breeders' Cup, plenty fast guys. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm kind of working a bunch of horses today, and so you'll hear me working here in the background. But anyhow, 24, just stay like that, 24. But the timing was good, and it's the biggest turf sprint purse-wise, I believe, other than the Breeders' Cup, so it made sense.
You know, I made reference earlier that he's not even the morning line favorite in this race. And I said, hey, how do you disrespect the two-time Breeders' Cup turf sprint winner, making him third choice on the morning line? Do you ever go into a race thinking, hey, you know what, guys, you're not going to make us the favorite. We're going to show you how good we really are.
You know, they didn't respect him the first two Breeders' Cups he won. So, that's the least of my worries. But, I kind of laugh at that stuff.
What are the things that you remember about those two Breeders' Cup wins, Pete?
Well, I mean, just the, personally, just the, you know, complete euphoria of the situation for me. You know, they were two different situations. The first one being at Del Mar, you know, in my hometown, and running 1-2 was just incredible. And then, you know, the second one to repeat it, in such a dramatic fashion with a great horse like World of Trouble and have my boys with me was, equally as amazing. So just the horses just, giving me the ride of life and, I owe him everything, and he owes me nothing.
Yeah, and obviously the ultimate goal would be another trip to the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint this year. This afternoon's race is a win, and you're in. I mean, he's gonna qualify to be in the race anyway, but to have that in your corner, if he can win that race at Kentucky Downs, how important is it to have that win and you're in, locked in and in your corner?
I mean, obviously that's a big bonus. Looks good, guys. Looks good. Stay like that. 49. It's obviously not the main reason we're running. It's a big bonus. Perfect. It's a big bonus to have the winning you're in, and we'd love to have it. But, the main thing is to try and, get them to the Breeders' Cup in good shape and, try and, three-peat.
Trainer Pete Miller joining me here on HRRN. As you can hear, he has horses training right now, and he's kind of giving you a look behind the curtain as to what makes him so good as he does his job every morning. That's what it sounds like for trainer Pete Miller day in and day out. Pete, before I let you go very quickly, I want to look back on that Del Mar Futurity.
Perfect.
And you run 1-2. Nucky gets the victory. Big upset in there. Tell me about that race and those horses.
You know, that was, another really dream come true. Both horses were doing really well. And, I again felt like, we were being underplayed and overlooked. And, obviously there was a mishap in the race, but, honestly, I don't think it would have mattered. I think Nucky was the best horse that day, no matter who lined up. And, I think he proved it. And, Wrecking Crew's a very good horse. His blood, his energy level's not right, not quite where I want it. I think he's a better horse than he's shown, and he's a grade one placed and grade two placed. So, I think he's kind of scary. If we can get him really hitting on all cylinders, I think he can be any kind of horse. Nucky's just a really solid, hard-knocking, hard-trying, very professional young horse. And, I'm excited, to run him in the front runner and hopefully the Breeders' Cup.
Were you shocked to see him at 35-1?
I was. I mean, here the horse just won by 10.5 lengths with a big buyer. and they were just discounting. And you know, I get it. You know, Bob's won 15, you know, futurities. So, you know, he's going to get all the action. And, you know, that's fine. Look, I'm not betting. So, you know, I wish I was. But, again, you know, the price doesn't matter. The horses can't read the board, and I don't care. So that's, you know, more for the players. And, you know, hopefully the sharp ones got a nice $70 mutual.
Well, as expected, Pete Miller is loaded, making his way down the road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Pete, all the best with Stormy Liberal later today, and I know it's a busy day, so I won't keep you, but thanks for taking a few minutes and spending some time with us here on HRN.
My pleasure, Mike, and thanks for all you guys do. Really appreciate it.
All right, and Pete Miller, our industry star of the week, and rightfully so. He comes out of that Del Mar meet as the second leading trainer behind Doug O'Neill, came up just short, a few wins behind Doug in terms of the leading trainer title, but having saddled 35-1 long shot Nucky and second place finisher Wrecking Crew in the Del Mar Futurity and then Stormy Liberal coming back today, I thought, hey, you know what? Let's make Pete Miller this industry star of the week because he's been a star in this sport for a very long time. And that segment brought to you by our friend Stuart Morris. Don't forget that Stuart offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, clients, and his team. His success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales coming up, including the Keeneland September sale. Make sure you stop by and say hello to Stuart and tell him how much you enjoy that Industry Star of the Week segment here on HRRN. Yeah, Nucky ran a monster race at 35-1 to win that Del Mar Futurity last week. But you heard Pete allude to the fact that there was the incident at the start where Eight Rings lost his rider, Drayden Van Dyke. Storm the Court also lost his jockey, Flavian Pratt. So those two, Eight Rings was a heavy favorite in there. And by all accounts is a horse that many people feel for trainer Bob Baffert could be a major player looking ahead to the first Saturday in May next year, but certainly to other races like the Front Runner. If Eight Rings goes that direction, I would think probably would, assuming all things are okay with Eight Rings. And then, you know, a race like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And how good are some of these? We saw some great, great two-year-old performances this summer. Dale Roman sent out his horse who won by a pole at Ellis Park. You had all the big efforts coming from the two-year-olds, and there were several at Saratoga that caught your eye. And then now Nucky at 35-1 throws his hat into the ring. And you hear Pete talk about this horse being a very good horse. Shouldn't have been 35-1, but as he said, hopefully the sharp guys and hopefully some of you got a chance to cash on Nucky in that spot. And aided, sure, aided by the fact that Eight Rings had the issues at the start and lost the rider. Absolutely, look, heavy favorite. You have to say that, right? No doubt about it. But you might hear more from Nucky up the road, especially the way Pete talked about him here on the show this morning. And Stormy Liberal, yeah, Pete says, okay, well, they disrespected us in the two Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint races and overlooked him those days. Yes, but that's the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And, you know, he was 7-1 in that race last year when he won. So it wasn't like he was 37-1. They gave Stormy Liberal some respect. They just didn't make him one of the top choices. So Stormy Liberal, after finishing third in his race back from Dubai, the Green Flash Handicap at Del Mar on August 17th, comes back in the turf sprint at Kentucky Downs later today. And as Pete said, this horse owes him nothing. He owes the sport nothing. He's won 12 of 34 starts. He's earned $2.1 million. And he owes nobody anything. So if he goes out today and he runs a clunker for whatever reason, okay, fine. But that hasn't been his MO. quite typically, if he has a subpar effort, he comes back with a huge effort the next time. And yeah, you can look at that Green Flash handicap effort, finishing third last time out, only beating 3 3/4 lengths. He was 2-1, gave him his respect at the windows. You could say that was a subpar effort for Stormy Liberal, because we're used to seeing him, if he doesn't win, we're used to seeing him get beat by like a head or a length. So let's say that that was a subpar effort. Look out for Stormy Liberal today. Don't overlook the two-time Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint winner. Going to be one heck of a race regardless. 10 horses, as I mentioned, Stormy Liberal, third choice on the morning line, behind Leinster, who is 3-1 for Rusty Arnold under jockey Tyler Gaffalione, and behind Imprimis, who is on the board at 4-1, at morning line at 4-1 for Joe Orsino and Paco Lopez. Going to be one heck of a horse race. Make sure you check that out. It's race number 7 on a huge day at Kentucky Downs. Post time 4:53 Eastern, 3:53 locally Central Time at Kentucky Downs. All right, going to go ahead and get to another break, because when I come back, we're going to talk more about that card today. We're going to talk about all the big races. We'll do it with the voice of Kentucky Downs, announcer Michael Rona. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Bloods sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Picari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. In addition to selling a $1 million-plus yearling, Picari's standouts on the racetrack include Reynaldo the Wizard.
Coming after Reynaldo the Wizard, he's still in front. The Wizard has won. Reynaldo the Wizard has beaten Belmont Mask.
And recent Grade 1 winner, Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead. And Salty has won it.
Visit the Picari Bloodstock consignment at major sales to find your next superstar.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Zapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one three-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 Aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Bigger Picture has made steady progress, and way on the outside comes Oscar-nominated. He's extremely wide, but he's in gear now, coming from out of the pack. There's less than a quarter of a mile to go. Bigger Picture, Solio. Here comes on the inside, Multiplier. Oscar-nominated is going to have to dig deep. Arklow's got a big shot. As they come into deep stretch, here come Bigger Picture and Arklow. They tackle Solio. There's a 16 to go. Arklow leads to Bigger Picture. It's Arklow in front. Arklow, Solio, and Bigger Picture. Arklow and Florent Giroux stylishly. They take the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup. Bigger Picture, Solio, Bronson, and it's tight for the Super High Five.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Arklow getting the victory in the Kentucky Turf Cup last September at Kentucky Downs. He'll get a rematch with the horse that you just heard was second, Bigger Picture. That will come your way later this afternoon on a loaded program here in the Bluegrass at Kentucky Downs. And joined now by the man who will be calling all the action for you, the native of Australia, that is announcer Michael Rona here on HRRN. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Always great to get an Australian accent on the show.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
and somebody as accomplished as yourself, you've had the chance to call so many big races, and later today you're going to have the chance to call an outstanding card at Kentucky Downs. Let's start with that. What's it been like calling the races at Kentucky Downs this meet?
Extraordinarily challenging would be a couple of words that come to mind. It's everybody knows it's a unique layout. I actually was out walking the course the day before opening day, trying to get a feel for the undulations and so on, the intricacies of the layout. But really nothing could have prepared me for what I saw, and in some instances did not see through the binoculars from my vantage point in calling the races. It's very difficult. I called the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita in 2016, and I've called many races down that strange downhill sprint layout where they make a right-hand turn at Santa Anita going behind trees. But this is more difficult. This is as tough as race calling gets. When they pass the three-quarters pole in the back stretch, they take a right-hand turn, and then they go downhill into the far turn, and you basically lose a lot of horses on the outside. And for races that begin either at six or six and a half furlongs, I have a very difficult perspective of the early furlong. So that area of the track is particularly difficult. And then when they turn for home, pretty much I'm looking head on straight down their throats for the first half of the stretch without much depth perspective until they take a slight dogleg about the eighth pole for the final furlong. So it's a challenge for the jockeys, and I can assure you it's a challenge for the race caller as well. But all of that said, it's a fabulous opportunity. I've been looking forward to it all year. I'm still feeling my way in some respects and just tinkering with how I'm trying to approach those troubled spots on the track from a race calling standpoint. But I love the challenge, and perhaps I'll have it all figured out by the last race on closing day.
Yeah, it's usually the way it works. Are you, Mike, are you one of those announcers? The late Luke Kripos used to spend a lot of time with crayons, and he used to color the silks of the jockeys would be wearing next to each horse's name. I've seen several announcers do it that way. Kurt Becker is more of a pen and paper guy, where he'll write down some of the markings or the equipment that a horse is wearing, and he'll do it on a legal pad before the horses go to the post, and that's how he gets it in his head. What's your approach? How do you get ready to call a race?
Well, in a lot of instances, I don't bother much with colouring the program. In Australia, that's pretty much not a common practice. In fact, I don't know that anybody does it in Australia. So I didn't learn race calling doing that. But in instances like Kentucky Downs, I'm finding it extremely beneficial. I want every tool available to me. Anything that can help in a split-second crisis can be invaluable. So I absolutely am colouring the jockey's colours next to each name. I'm also making notations of of different equipment, different coloured blinkers or shadow rolls can be helpful, a different coloured bridle, anything that can help you distinguish between two horses of perhaps similar colours is also critical. So I am feverishly making all of these notes. As soon as I get a look at the horses in the paddock and the jockeys when they come out, I'm going to work and using every tool available to me, because it is such a demanding, exacting task here that I'm facing. So just fingers crossed that I've got them straight when they go into the gate. But the bigger problem is seeing them. You know, if you have the ability to call races, it's an automatic thing that you have a very good short-term memory. But it's fine to look at horses in the post-parade right under your nose and you say, when I see that colour combination with that coloured bridle, I'll know it's such and such. But the problem is actually seeing enough of them in a bunched field such a long way from you to positively make that identification. But every little angle helps.
Yeah, and as you said, when they turn for home, the whole picture changes, because then you're looking at pretty much a head-on shot, right?
Yes, without a great deal of elevation, which is another issue. The broadcast point, my vantage point is subject to the weather. I'm on an open veranda. I got sunburned at the end of opening day, and that can drain and affect the concentration as well. So, again, I don't mean to be painting a bleak picture. I'm actually reveling in the challenge. I just hope I can rise to it, particularly on a day as significant as today with this smorgasbord of stakes races.
Yeah, I'm glad you led me there. Let's talk about those races. Race number 6 is the first of several stakes in succession. It's the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint, 6.5 furlongs, a big field of 12 two-year-olds going to the post. Tell me a little bit about that race.
Well, I honestly can't get into too much handicapping detail, and I know that's the thrust of this session. I do a lot of preparation just in getting a feel for the makeup of the race. I make notes about things that I might be able to embellish the race call with. I want to know, you know, generally how much speed there might be, or what horse might be adding blinkers, or what horse hasn't run for 8 months, and so on. But to be honest, I haven't actually handicapped these races with a view to getting it down to a 1-2-3 selection. I'm not a gambler per se. I certainly don't bet on races that I call. So my focus so far has just been, it's been a big enough task for me to just get a handle on all of these strange names. Most of these horses and colours are unfamiliar to me. So I'm not one to actually be able to put forth a selection.
Yeah, that's fine, Michael. And, you know, I wanted to be, my dream job was to be a track announcer years ago. That's what I wanted to do. I would spend a lot of time practicing. Before I first moved to Kentucky and I was living in Massachusetts, I would practice off the television and I would call them into a tape recorder. I would do the same thing when I came here at Turfway and at Keeneland. I would stand on the roof and call them into a tape recorder to try to get better with it. And the one thing that always was difficult for me was the memorization part of it. And you talked earlier about how you go through your process of getting ready to memorize the names. But you can remember, for example, in that 6th race, number 1, Silver Prospector, you remember all the silks and the colors. And then the same owner, let's say, has that another horse in the next race by a whole different name, and you just memorize those color silks to fit Silver Prospector. Now you have to delete that from your memory and come back and memorize it all over again. How do you do it?
Yeah, that's a very good point. You have to be able to forget as effectively as you remember. So it's very much about short-term memory. My wife will tell you that my long-term memory absolutely sucks. I don't know, for me, whether it's like a chicken and the egg thing. I don't know if I was always disposed to a strong short-term memory, or in my practicing of race calling and ultimately pursuing it and doing it, that it's kind of just forced my brain into this mode. But definitely, you have to be able to wipe clean the mental slate. And one of the traps in potentially calling the wrong horse, identifying the wrong name, is definitely putting a name of another horse that carries the same colours. Another big trap is just confusing horses in the same race with very similar silks. There are plenty of ways you can get tripped up. And, of course, a race caller's worst nightmare is actually misidentifying the horse winning as it passes the finish line. You would not wish that moment of realization on your worst enemy. It's a dreadful thing that we've all experienced, thankfully not very often. But, it's treacherous. It's stressful because there's no take two or take three. If you're an actor on the set of a movie or a commercial, you can have as many cracks at it as you need before you get it right. But in race calling, you just have to live with your split-second responses to everything as it unfolds before you.
Visiting with the voice of Kentucky Downs, Michael Rona, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, you started calling races at a relatively young age, 17 years old. So I guess you've been doing it now for well over 35 years, I guess it is. When you think back on some of the moments you've been part of in the announcer's booth, what are a couple of the moments that jump out to you immediately?
Well, I came to the United States in 1990 to Hollywood Park when I was 24 years old. I'd already been calling races for 7 years in Australia. I started very young. And within a very short time of arriving, I was thrown into the cauldron of the Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup, which pitted the reigning horse of the year, Sunday Silence, against Criminal Type, who would become the horse of the year for 1990. They locked horns at about the 3/8 pole and put on a stirring exhibition. That was a tremendously nerve-wracking but exciting moment for me. It was my first really big race. I had the chance at Arlington in 1996 to call Cigar as he equaled Citation's record for consecutive victories. Probably that took on even more significance because Cigar lost his next race at Del Mar. That was before the era of TVG. It was televised live nationwide on CBS, so it was a tremendous opportunity and experience for me. I've also had the chance to call some statistically significant occasions in the jockey ranks. I was at Hollywood Park in 99 when Pink Eye beat Shoemaker's record, and it happened to be at Bay Meadows when Russell Bays beat Pink Eye's record. So I've been fortunate to be, you could say, in the right booth at the right time for some of these very memorable moments in the sport.
Yeah, very much so. It's been a fun ride for Michael Rona. Michael, I can tell you, I really enjoy listening to your calls. They're very descriptive, they're accurate, and as somebody who quite often will listen to them just from the audio part of it through our radio broadcast or playing a clip, to me, you can actually see in your mind what's going on in the race, and that could be the biggest compliment that I could pay you.
Thank you. I deeply appreciate that. And yes, you're right. That's the biggest compliment a race caller could be paid. And maybe that comes from my radio background in Australia, calling races to an audience that cannot actually see the action unfolding. There's a vast radio simulcast network in Australia. You can be driving around in your car and listening to a radio station that covers racing around the clock. You'll hear a race going off every few minutes, live calls from all around the country. They've had that in Australia since the 60s or 70s. So all of the race callers down under had this need for description sort of drummed into them as they learn the craft. I know that I said that I didn't really have any particular selections for today's races, but I will tell you one handicapping angle that I'm intrigued by this afternoon is how the downhill turf sprint form from Santa Anita might translate to this course here at Kentucky Downs. They're the only two right-hand turns, and there's undulations, and the fact that obviously Stormy Liberal is all class and fully credentialed to win the run-happy Kentucky Downs turf sprint. But there are several fillies and mares in the ladies' sprint, the ninth race today, that have done well down that hillside course at Santa Anita. And I've got to think it would have to stand them in good stead for their debuts on this tricky, unique course at Kentucky Downs. I'm referring to Alexandra, A Little Bit Me, Painting Corners, even Tiny Tina, although I don't think she won, but she's placed down the hillside course. So those fillies and mares, the 3, 4, 6, and 9 in the ninth race, I'm just fascinated by how much their chances might be enhanced by their experience and success down the hillside turf course.
Yeah, it's a great observation. He's Michael Rona here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, I've got to get to one final commercial break on the program, so we'll let you go, but thank you so much for the time. Enjoy hearing your race calls, and good luck this afternoon at Kentucky Downs, my friend.
Thank you. I'll need it. There's a horse running today called Wet Your Whistle in the turf sprint. I'll be needing to wet my whistle straight after the last.
Yeah, good man. Good man. Michael Rona here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to that one final break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide. In the recent Blood Horse Market Watch study of leading consigners with more than 100 yearlings offered from 2014 to 2016, Millridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of stakes horses and winners of $100,000 or more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners. Their consignment at this year's Keeneland September sale includes yearlings from deep families by leading stallions such as Candy Ride, Curlin, Empire Maker, Ghost Sapper, More Than Ready, Quality Road, and Uncle Mo. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere, or visit centralequipment.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win or place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Tappet. His impact on the breed will last for generations. With more graded stakes winners, more grade one winners, and more million-dollar yearlings than any other active American stallion. For owners and breeders, his progeny have created memories that will last a lifetime. Find your Tappet at the upcoming yearling sales. America's most dominant sire. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, getting ready to wrap up a busy couple of hours. Covered an awful lot of ground for you here this morning on the Equine Forum. It started in the first hour with Kieran McLaughlin, who kicked off the program talking about his entrance in this afternoon's Jockey Club Oaks and Jockey Club Derby. Michael Hernan had a chance to be with us to talk about the Keeneland September sale and the Gainesway consignments. Tony Ricci of Tony's of Lexington talking about the place you need to go when you come to town. If you're looking for a great meal, great atmosphere, Tony's of Lexington is your home. And Joe Brown Nicholson from Nicholson Insurance Agency, that was a fun segment, talking about insuring yearlings and even looking ahead to how to insure your horses when they finally do make it to the races. My thanks to Pete Miller talking about Stormy Liberal and looking back on the Del Mar Futurity. And just moments ago, Michael Rona, the announcer at Kentucky Downs, kind enough to spend some time with me and had some really interesting things to say about what goes into calling races, especially at a racetrack like Kentucky Downs, where it is so undulating. You have the dips, and his broadcast or announcing position not as high up as it would be at many other racetracks. So fun show. Covered a lot of ground for you. Hope you enjoyed it. And for all of you who took the time to weigh in on our poll question, talking about what your top race or top performance was this summer, we appreciate that. And don't forget, you can follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and on Instagram. Make sure you're checking us out there, too. And follow along as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and our Breeders' Cup week schedule. It's there for you, too. Now, for our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios, for Sean C., handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers!